John Samos wrote these words: "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who trust and obey." Jesus, help me and help us to remember that our words are powerful. Our words not to cut down and bring discouragement, but for our words to build up and give life. And our words and our actions say a lot about us. I'm going to look at two things: the spirit of pride and the grace of humility. I'm going to look at a king's situation in the Old Testament, who initially he was humble, but then allowed pride to take over. And then we will go into the New Testament and look at the attitude of Jesus. For those of you who have tablets or a Bible and want to follow it, it's in the second book of Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 20, and it's verses 1 to 19. And the character that is in question is King Hezekiah. An interesting king, as it says about him in two chapters previous, that there was no one before him or after him in all of Judah. He trusted in the Lord. Now, just to give you a little bit of background leading up to the reading today, you can read how the prophet Isaiah had prophesied the downfall of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who had planned to destroy King Hezekiah and his people. After all, the Assyrians were absolutely full of pride. With their numbers, they thought that they could get anything at all that they wanted. And Hezekiah had received letters from the messengers all about the threats. And Hezekiah laid the letter out in the temple and prayed to the Lord, which was a pretty good idea because things were looking pretty bad at the time. And that poses us a question. Have you ever taken time out to pray when you haven't been in a good situation? Now, Isaiah will prophesy that the king of Assyria will not enter the city or shoot an arrow, and he will not come before it with a shield, and he wouldn't build a siege ramp. And that night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And it just shows how God can protect and help you and I when you humble yourself and pray. And Sennacherib withdrew, he returned to Nineveh, but he came to a sticky end because he was in the temple worshipping a false god, and his two sons came in and cut him down with the sword. His pride destroyed him. And pride can also destroy or do untold damage in our lives if we let it. And Hezekiah must have been thankful that the Lord was on his side. The question is, would he have learned his lesson to remain humble? Well, let's have a look at chapter 20 of the second book of Kings and verses 1 to 19. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice of figs." They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah asked Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now?" Isaiah answered, "This is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? "It's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah. "Rather, have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down the stairway of Ahaz. So far, so good. At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood that will be born to you, will be taken away. And they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied. For he thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? Verses 1 to 13 show again that Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and the Lord added 15 years to his life. And you would hope that that would be the happy ending, as he was healed and he had these extra years. So what gets in the way but the spirit of pride? Showing off everything that he had to the messengers, humbleness just flew out the window. Look at me, look at me, look what I've got. Isaiah tells Hezekiah that the time will come when everything in your palace will be carried off to Babylon. So how does that affect us? A Christian's life is like a long walk that starts at salvation and ends in heaven. And along the way, there are obstacles to overcome and to avoid. And one such hazard is pride. It's like an explosive device that's been buried in the ground to cause physical harm. Pride may lay hidden and unrecognized in our heart, causing spiritual damage in both our life and our relationship with Jesus. Our enemy Satan lays spiritual landmines in our path to trip us up. And one of the most effective ones is pride. It's imperative that we learn to detect it quickly. The trouble is, often we're slow to see and admit that we have a problem with pride, because it tends to hide behind feelings of inadequacy. Whatever form, pride is about self. Me, me, me. It's a vain attempt to fill an area of personal emptiness. But only Jesus can fill that void. And the only way to come to him is humbly. Strong words in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 5. It says, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's why we cannot serve him while clinging on to our own self-importance. When God is given second place in our life, the work of the Spirit is hindered. Then we make foolish mistakes and judgments because we're focused not on him, but just on ourselves. A proud person is often the last one to know the contents of his or her heart. And this was definitely true of the scribes and the Pharisees when Jesus confronted them in the New Testament. They thought themselves as good people who kept God's law, but failed to see their desire for prominence and respect as evidence of pride. The same is true today. Our quest for recognition still flows from pride. Perhaps we want someone to thank us for the work we have done behind the scenes. And if it's not forthcoming, we become resentful or self-pitying. We secretly consider ourselves to be better than those around us. We may even choose to associate with prominent, well-liked people while ignoring those who are less admired. The only solution is to turn back to Jesus and humble ourselves before him. When we recognize the parts of our life that have been damaged by it and admit our mistakes, we can get into the mind frame of humility. I remember years ago when I was at school in the playground, a common statement was, "Nobody likes a big head." One of the most effective ways to overcome pride is to look at the example of Jesus. And there was absolutely nothing in any of us that warranted his love and salvation. And yet Jesus humbled himself by coming down from heaven, being born in humble circumstances, to become a man, to die in our place, and offer us salvation. Look at some of the examples of the humbleness that Jesus showed here on earth. Matthew 8, verses 1 to 3. The man with leprosy, a man who people would avoid, but Jesus reached out to him. Further along in Matthew 8, verse 28, the healing of two demon-possessed men. Yet again, considered by many as undesirable, but Jesus reached out to them. Who do we avoid in our day-to-day journey? John 4, verse 4, Jesus had to go through Samaria and he spoke to the Samaritan woman. And it was well known that the Jews would avoid Samaria. But through that encounter, the woman went back to her town and spread the word, and many came to know Jesus. John 13, verse 1. Just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and go back to his Father. And what did he do? He did something that would normally be performed by a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. And I find this point interesting because on this occasion, there was no servant there. But also, no one else volunteered to do it. Jesus' action was during the meal, not before it, done deliberately to emphasize a point. It was a lesson in humility, and even the disciples had to learn that. And in Luke's gospel, we can read how some of the disciples were rebuked over a quarrel concerning who would be the greatest. And Jesus quite simply said in Luke 22:27, "I am among you as one who serves." The most important commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And without this complete devotion to him, we will pursue our own interests. No idol, whether a person, a dream, a pursuit, or a possession, is worthy of worship. God hates idols of every kind because he knows anything that draws our attention away from him is dangerous. And it's a way for each of us to miss out on God's blessing. When we read the New Testament, we see with Paul, full of pride and taking great delight in persecuting the Christians. Yet after his account with Jesus, Paul learned to be content in whatever situation he was put in. And we too can change for the better when we dump pride. The same sovereign God who used Paul's circumstances for his purposes can do so with yours and mine. So what items of pride do you need to drop off that's blocking your path in your Christian walk with Jesus? No, humans have been born bent away from Jesus. Our natural inclination is to please and serve self. The truth is, we all have areas of self-focus that need to be bent back or broken by God. When we honestly look inward to discover wrong habits and thoughts, our Heavenly Father will bring them to our mind. Then we must surrender to his work in our lives. If you have a pride issue today, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it eat away at you? Are you going to hold on to it? Or are you just going to let it go and be released? People watch us, and what we say and do affects them more than we may imagine. Richard spoke 2 weeks ago about the Holy Spirit, that when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Don't squeeze out the Holy Spirit with the spirit of pride. Today is the day to let go. You may have stored up pride for weeks, months, even years. When pride goes, there is a greater chance of reconciliation. And sorry is the start of losing pride and being humble. Just let pride go, because the grace of Jesus Christ is waiting to bless you when you do that.